My name is Tim Drake, and I'm interviewing Mrs. Jane Lamb. Today is May 29th, 2000, so I guess let's get started. Can you tell me about your childhood and your family history?
I was born on Cooper Mountain, outside of Beaverton, in 1933, October 12th. I was the third child of Joe and Ann Riggert, and we lived on Riggert Road. At the time, there wasn't a name for it. It was a dirt road. I grew up and went to into Beaverton to school, to the Catholic school, St. Cecilia's School, which is now Damerel Ford location. The Dark Horse was there prior to that, and that was the parish priest's house. I left school there, I believe, in 1947, and then went to St. Mary's of the Valley and graduated there in 1951. Our family had about 50 acres on just off of what is now 185th. At the time, I believe it was called Wheeler Road, and about 2.5 miles south of Aloha. Dad had a farm. It was he had walnuts, pears, peaches, some grain, and quite a few apples. And he managed to provide for our family. I was number three, but there were 13 of us at the end. And so we had a good life on the farm, and I'll move on from there.
All right. Can you tell me about what the town was like, how many people, things like that?
Beaverton was, well, Aloha was unincorporated, and I believe it still is now. Just kind of a wide spot in the road. I do recall when, I don't know what year, but I maybe was a freshman or eighth grader, that Aloha got a theater. And that was very exciting because we could go to a movie, namely Walk to Aloha, which was about 2.5 miles. But anyway, on a Sunday afternoon, that was fine. I don't know if there was ever any census as to what Aloha comprised of. It really wasn't a town. So Beaverton, I'm not sure what the population might have been. I recall there was the Rexall drugstore, and there was the main Beaverton pharmacy, and there was a beach, a store or market, right between the TV highway, only I think it was called Canyon Road then, I'm not positive about that, and Broadway and Beaverton, and right where the tracks came through, where you crossed over, was this Beaches Market where a crabby old man lived, and he and his wife, and they sold candy, gum, whatever, but he was always watching when a child went in, and like he'd be prejudiced if we would be fortunate enough to have a nickel to buy some candy or even a penny or something. It's like, okay, here it is, now get out of here. That's a memory I have. Then there was the Beaver Theater, which had pretty good movies. I don't recall it being open every night of the week, though. And I think maybe Beaverton might have been 3,000 or around there. I'm not positive on that. And I never did go to Beaverton High School. Some of the members in our family did. My oldest brother graduated from there, but I think there were maybe about 600 students at the time there, and that was it for Beaverton, for a high school. I guess that's about, you know, there was the railroad tracks, of course, went through two sets of railroad tracks. The Pagan Paxson's Mortuary has always been there that I recall. The Beaverton City Library was quite close to what was known and might still be known as Merrill Davies Grade School, which is the big brick building next to the high school there. And of course, the high school now doesn't have much resemblance to what it did at the time because they've added on so many times. And there was just Hall Street, and well, I don't believe Hall was a through street. It was Watson Street is what headed out of town toward Progress and Tiger. And of course, that there was no connection to Cedar Hills Boulevard or anything. That it wasn't called Cedar Hills Boulevard. I don't know what it was at the time, but that led to the airport, Charlie Bernard's airport.
Now, you mentioned the Aloha Theater. It's out of business now, but is it the same place that it is now?
Right. It was a Quonset hut. Yeah. They hauled it in after the war.
Huh.
And yeah. And as I said, that was kind of a highlight for farm kids who had nothing. It was fun.
Do you remember the when the shack went in, the Reedville Cafe?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. I don't know when it went in. I just recall going by there, and it was like the crab shack. They'd have a crab feed on Friday nights. And I think it was more of just a tavern and kind of a hole in the wall. It became respectable in later years. But talking about taverns and stuff, I think there was one on the corner of now 185th and Farmington Road. It was called Chapman's Corner at the time. And there was the grocery, and I believe they had a food locker there. And then they added a section to a tavern. Now it's called the Sports Bar and Grill, and I think it was Heidi's prior to that. But anyway, some of the local farmers would drive down there in the summertime and have their beer in the afternoon. And I think about refrigeration and so forth, and I don't believe our family had a refrigerator until the war was over. We had a World War II, that is. We had a cool cupboards, and then we had a basement, and the laundry tubs were down there, and they would, it stayed cool year-round down there, but the milk would be put in there after Dad milked, and we had a huge water tank down there because we had a very deep well up there, and we'd pump into the tank and sit there, and then we'd draw from it.
Well.
Memories.
Yeah. Are there any news stories that stick out in your mind, or is it
news?
Yeah.
We always took the newspaper, the Oregonian, and it would come a day late. And to the mailbox came along Rigert Road. I mean, it was along Rigert Road, and we had the mail delivery around noon. And it was always fun to run down there to get the yesterday's paper and read for the headlines, which I liked. Also, I liked sports. I was a very big Portland Beaver fan, of which I belonged to the Knothole Gang on Vaughn Street. So that goes back quite a ways. I'd forgotten that one. But news stories. I was probably politically minded for my age. I mean, I know I was. And I recall a lot. In our family, I guess we must have discussed things because, you know, Roosevelt and Truman, and Roosevelt, the sort of was the word of he's going to give away the country, and it was like the war saved his bacon. If we hadn't had the war, we would have been in the pits. And then Truman came along, and I don't recall any great love in our family for him. I know when I was 21, I registered as fast as I could because I was so interested in politics. And I think our family, my parents, would have been considered quite Republican. The independent, work your fingers to the bone kind, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And it brushed off on us, and which is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me. Now when you say about current events, and you mentioned Cold War before, I seem to recall, and I don't know if this was in the 60s or not, about a lot of people were, well, not a lot of people. There was a fear that there was going to be nuclear war, and that I don't know if it's through the newspaper or magazines, but I just felt like we should have a bomb shelter or something. which my dad never had any interest in. I suppose we could have gone to the basement or something, but it was like, there. I would say that there was a fear of nuclear attack, and of course, being Americans, and before things had been blown wide open and everything, we believed whatever statement that a governing person would say, never questioning, because we didn't have the knowledge to question, and just kind of accepted this, that there might be a nuclear attack. And I do recall during World War II, something we did was always we had to keep the lights out at night and curtains drawn and, you know, the curfew, and you weren't supposed to be driving cars and, well, this goes back to the 40s, so I guess it's irrelevant. Anyway.
Well, about the bomb shelters, not very many people that I've found have had basements or bomb shelters. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was that common?
I don't think that many people did it, but you would see in magazines these plans, you know, of what to do, how to go about it, what to store for food. And I don't know, maybe people just got a grip or something and thought, hey, if it goes off, I'm toast. You know, it's like, I'll be lucky. I don't want to be around.
Okay. The fear of nuclear attack caused some people to build an observation tower at the high school. I don't know if you remember.
No,
that.
Which high school was this?
Well, Hillsborough High School, so Thomas.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hill Hall. Yeah. Right.
So
my mom went to school there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about that observation tower?
No, Hillsborough just sort of wasn't in my.
Yeah.
My grandparents lived out in North Plains, so about growing up, I recall probably every other Sunday or every other third Sunday, we'd go to Aloha, take a left, come out the TV highway, go through Hills, go to First Street, Glencoe Road, and then head out to North Plains that way, because there was no Sunset Highway at the time. No, I don't recall anything about that. So there was a fear.
Was there any increase in parades or things to get patriotic spirit up, or was that just normal?
I just really can't answer that, because those years, I was, as I said, I finished school when I was high school when I was 17, and then I moved and I was more interested in social life and partying, and I had some college, but I sort of let the interest in politics and what was going on wasn't really the forefront of my life, so
okay.
Can't help you on that one.
Well, the effect that the Cold War had on the U.S., was it mostly in the media, or, I mean, you mentioned that there was some genuine fear, but...
Right. I really believe there was. Just an overall feeling that we might be under attack at some time. And maybe you could say the press just brought this on, although they would play up statements different Russian leaders would make, how they were going to bury us, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's just the old propaganda mill, and whether there actually was any. I don't know, Kennedy seemed to think that there was, you know, a real threat and danger when he called the bluff there in Cuba.
Yeah.
Get those out of there, you guys.
Do you remember any, like, warning systems or defense, like, duck and cover that you had to do in school?
Like air raids or something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm not sure, but I do know that, let's see now, that would have been in the 40s, so I would have been in high school there. They had a somewhat subterranean, huge auditorium, and went down about 5-6 steps, and then all brick building, but I just don't recall, no.
Okay.
whether it came down to drills for that, yeah.
And my parents were talking to me about this, and they had mentioned that they were taught about fallout, and they had to do those drills in school. Were you told about that,
no,
or was that still
No, I think
up?
that was prior to, I mean, they were after, you know,
yeah.
Because, as I said, my schooling kind of, you know, in the early 50s, mm-hmm. I was bad. I thought you were going to ask me about rock and roll and all of these things about that when in the 50s, you know, when it started.
Yeah. Well, you already said
well,
that.
Well, I was talking with my husband laughing about this, but we were just, I'm not sure, was it maybe 52, 53 when things first started or 54?
Mm-hmm.
They came out with that type of music. And we thought we were so worldly and sophisticated and everything. But all we could say, we like classical music, and all we could say is, that is the most horrible thing I've ever heard. It takes no intelligence. It is so base. It is so primal. It's like, who would ever get into that kind of stuff? It's going away. We were just certain that, you know, this is a fad and it'll go away. Well, we were wrong.
Did you have a TV when you were growing up in your house?
Oh, no, no. My first experience of a TV was, I had a friend in high school and who lived in Hillsboro, as a matter of fact. But we went up, she invited me to go with her parents to Seattle one weekend. And they, this probably was maybe in 1948. And she, they stayed at her cousin's, and they had TV. And we just thought it was the most wonderful thing. I think we spent the weekend in our pajamas in front of their TV.
Let's see. Do you remember about how many people were in your graduating class?
I do, and I think it was one of the lowest ever that they had at that school. I believe there were about 12 of us.
Wow.
It was very small. The year after us, I think it was about 35, and after that they just kind of kept going up, but probably because there just weren't that many people then, and we were kind of like depression babies, you know, born in the 30s, you know, and people really didn't have that many children then, I think. They just couldn't afford to. Those were tough years.
Let's see. What was the economy was obviously based on farming at that time, but around here anyway. Was there any predominant thing? I mean, were there a lot of dairy farms, or were there a lot of orchards? Or
I don't think orchards so much. It seems like there were some dairy farms that went away, but maybe more like, I was going to say berries, I recall, out of Reedville, Hag Brothers, Oscar and somebody else, Hag had berries, and then south of Cooper Mountain up toward the Chehalem Mountains more, it was nuts, walnuts and filberts. And
yeah, that hazel dryer that went out of business,
yeah.
Was that operating then?
Let's see now, which one went out of business?
The one on the south side of Bald Peak.
Oh, there was one. Oh, okay. I know there was one going up out south of Shoals,
mm-hmm.
something along there. I don't know, my dad took his nuts over to Dundee to have the, there was a, some kind of co-op of a bunch of nut growers, and that went bankrupt, I recall, or whoever the purchaser was wouldn't buy or quit buying and then didn't pay the farmers, and I recall dad along with a lot of walnut growers lost a whole year's crop. And then I think they reorganized into something else, and proceeded, but anyway. Then also he had prunes. There was a prunery in Forest Grove, I remember, that he would take where they dried prunes, processed. But just like around Reedville too, there's fields of grain, and that's kind of what it was. And then there'd be a home here and there with maybe 2-3 acres, you know, and they would do with whatever. But the larger farms were all like more north of Hillsborough and west, and actually, yeah, I suppose, sort of between Aloha and Beaverton, and then going into Portland was more like piecemeal, just little places here and there.
Yeah.
No major farm or anything. I think there was a dairy at on Farmington Road there. The family's name might have been Day. It's where the creek, where all the Greensboro and whatever the name of those other apartments are, huge complexes. Anyway, it was back in there.
Was there any local baseball teams or sports teams other than like the high school teams?
I don't think so. I don't. You know, there wasn't any no recreation district. Let's see, what was there? I mean, kids really didn't have. They usually worked in the summer. You know, they'd hit the fields. And, I mean, it seems like all kids seem to do that. I recall a place there was where you could pick beans, even, and I think there was places for cucumbers and whatever. But so far as kids playing sports, I don't recall even being, you know, there might have been a Boy Scout troop. I'm not sure on that. But, no, summer league kind of stuff or nothing, and I don't know if Beaverton ever had any kind of a pro game or anything, pro team or semi-pro. I just recall the Portland Beavers, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the state schools had their teams, but Beaverton had high school, and Beaverton High School had football and basketball, I recall, and I don't know if they had anything else. I don't think they did golf or tennis then, so. Or wrestling, or maybe.
Is there anything else you can think of that you might want to?
Oh,
any other stories?
During that time? Well, I'll tell this one. I mean, it's for what it's worth. I had mentioned that I was kind of interested in politics. And so this goes into 1960. My husband and I moved to a place out off of Baseline Road, and he knew I liked politics, etc. And so at some election point, they were asking for a precinct committee woman, and there was no name written in there. So he put down my name. I didn't know it. And I received a letter from the election board saying I had won the vote and I was now the precinct committee woman. And so I thought, now, do I want to do that or not? And I did. And it was Republican. And so I attended a few meetings, which were, I would say, quite boring, not what I was really interested in. And one time I was at a party, and I made this comment to this male friend who was a Democrat precinct committee man. And I told him how I didn't like the meetings, and about all they talked about is what the Democrats were doing and this and that, instead of coming up with any plans. I asked him how his meetings were. He says, "Well, we do the same thing." He says, "We talk about what the Republicans are doing." Well, anyway, I finished out my term, and I was just like, no more. The end. It was a waste of time. I presume things have improved since then. But
well, I guess that's it, unless there's anything else you want to share.
My life hasn't been that. Hasn't been that active. I don't, can't really think of anything. It's just, about the culture, about the early 50s maybe, is in with kind of college crowd and so forth, was there were some serious students, and mostly there are quite a few veterans then from World War II yet going to school, and they were quite, I would say, serious in their vocation or what they chose to do. There was some partying, but not a lot, except maybe on weekends. And very, very, I don't know what in relation to what I read now about the alcohol consumed and the binges and so forth, what was done then was very, very minor. And there was underage drinking, but as I said, it just wasn't the scale that you see now or hear now. There weren't any of these big weekend high school beer parties whatsoever. Kids just had too much to do, I think, in their home life and whatever, that there wasn't an awful lot of time for that kind of thing.
So I guess to sum it up, the two questions that I had to answer were, was there any effect on daily life due to the Cold War? So I guess yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a fear, kind of a fear.
Mm-hmm. Was there any effect to the Korean War?
Oh, yeah, the Korean War. I guess what I want to say about that, there was really quite an effect on my husband's and myself. When he was in school, the draft was going on in college. And he kept getting deferred. Well, earlier he had been in the Naval Reserve, but he had dropped that about 2 years prior to. And so he got his deferments each year for college. And then the year he graduated, he had planned all along on going to graduate school to continue. And he registered maybe in August, I believe it was, for the fall term for graduate school, and 2 weeks after he registered, he received a notice from his Selective Service Board that he was drafted into the Army, and he went down with his record of having, you know, registered for school, and so they deferred again. Anyway, if he hadn't done that, he would have been in the service. You know. So that just kind of shows you that somebody who would go to school and keep going to school didn't have to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the fairness in that? I mean, we were on the lucky end of it, and an awful lot of guys weren't.
Yeah.